Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining me and me and me again and this other guy who I don't even know how he got here. I didn't send him the link. I didn't invite him around these parts. I challenged him, but I really didn't
look,
think he was
look,
show
right.
up.
Kate, shut up, right? I've had the DMs. You've sent flowers to my allotment.
Well, hold on.
You've sent all 9 Lone Star albums to my place of work at Cultaholic Wrestling. I got the message. Bitter that you got very angry with me on Twitter and so unpleasant on Twitter that you got banned for a week. I didn't do nothing other than exist. So I thought, look, as a little, we'll smoke a metaphorical pipe of peace together over the world of Ring of Honor. Okay. And I'll invade your privacy for a little bit, just as you've invaded mine.
I've invaded your privacy. You've hacked into my apartment and captured this background, this very background right here, and you've edited me. My goodness.
I had good fun perving through your Instagram to find these two delectable women to sit opposite me whilst I finish off this lovely bottle of Malbec.
We do thank you for joining us. It is very late your time, so we very much appreciate you being here. In all sincerity, Tom, having you on is going to be a hoot. But we ask you guys a couple of housekeeping things. We ask you guys to leave a thumbs up on this video if you would be so kind. It helps us find people in the algorithms. We ask you to send in those super chats if you have anything that you want to say, or if you want to I don't know, maybe pick a side between me and Tom. If you want to show your support for me in our feed, or you can show for Tom too. But more importantly, we ask you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. A lot of NXT news that came about as this result of a blockbuster episode on Tuesday about Sexy Red, who's 2 Y's and not 2 X's, which I'll always get wrong for the rest of my life. But Ethan Page making his NXT debut and subsequently signing with the company. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com for more information on that, as well as the Jordynne Grace crossover, which is very exciting in TNA world. And Joel and Cresta, I'm sure, will be talking about that on the back of this show, which is very cool. But Sean snagging an interview with the Prohibited Portal, as she was called. Can't say Forbidden Door, but you get the alliteration in there. But Tom, this is your first time in a while, or your first time watching Ring of Honor in real time, because you're not a sicko that watches this at 2-3 in the morning usually.
Ring of Honor? No, I've been Ring watching of World of Sports.
Oh no.
I can tell you that Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks went to a draw when Big Daddy belly pushed Giant Haystacks out of the ring.
Oh no.
Well, did anything happen on Ring of Honor?
You know what? Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. You know how AEW has Forbidden Door, right?
Yes, of course.
WWE/NXT/TNA have the Prohibited Portal. You and I, Kate from Off of Fightful, we have the Naughty Window.
We have the Naughty Window.
The Naughty Window.
If that doesn't get you to leave a thumbs up on this video, I don't know what will. We have the Naughty Window.
Stepping through the Naughty Window.
That's what we're going to do at Wembley, my friend. All right, we're going to step through the naughty window. But Tom,
naughty window.
What were your thoughts kind of overall? I know before we went live, you were saying these just kind of fly by when you're watching them in real time. And that's one of my favorite parts about Ring of Honor. But your overall thoughts kind of on this episode and your live experience watching, even though you're probably very tired.
No, I mean, real, like, you know, keeping it 100, as the kids say.
Sure.
Ring of Honor is one of those shows that I very rarely watch as it happens. I will catch up on results. I'll know what's going on. I'll have my finger somewhere near the pulse. But it's the first time I've watched it in a while in its full form. And it does spin by. Like, it's a wrestling show. And if you want just undiluted wrestling without too much, and I say without too much of the sports entertainment, there's a fair bit of sports entertainment in this one. Sure. More than I remember from my day of Ring of Honor. The one thing that I liked about this, and it's something that you guys have talked about a lot on this show as well, is sometimes the champions are conspicuous by their absence on this very show. It felt like tonight that all but really one or two belts were in some way represented on the show. Whether they were represented the best way they could be is another story.
Sure.
But they were at least represented here, mainly at the beginning of the show. It felt like quite a top-heavy Ring of Honor, and threw me back to episodes of Raw from like 1996, where you'd have like the main event like somewhere at the start or in the middle, and then it would just be a couple of rando matches and then everybody goes to bed. And it felt a bit like that here.
I think that's fair. And also, I'm so distracted by my me that is located here, but hearing your criticism through the distractions of myself, I look great in that photo. You could have picked a much nastier photo, so I'll
take it. Of all the pictures that you've taken, Kate, that's one of them.
It is certainly one of them, and it ain't my worst one, but you're right. We did at least have the presence of champions on the show. Mark Briscoe has not been here since he won the title. He was on paternity leave. I don't know if he's still out, but congratulations to him for having the baby. Would be nice to have our champions around, though, and Wheeler Yuta, 4 months and counting without a pure title representative on the show. So that continues to be a frustration. But to your point, we did have Kyle Fletcher here. We did have, we didn't have Kyle Fletcher here.
We had Kyle Fletcher mentioned.
We had Kyle Fletcher
mentioned. He's going to be prominent next week. I think the action figures got more name checks than the pure and the world title.
They absolutely did. We had Athena tonight and your tag champions and my dog knocking over my white girl light.
Your dog was there as well. I think
she's a champion. She doesn't come around to ROH. She's too good. She's too good for ROH.
Is your dog Action Andretti?
She's the champion of just like laying around. So
fine champion at that.
She's incredible at that. Like leader of the world in that. But we got some super chats that have rolled in since we started chatting. Tom, buns up for the Bangs Bangs gang. That's what we do around here, all right? Thank you so much, Ricardo, for your continued support. And Will saying, wow, talk about Forbidden Door. This is great to see. Yes.
Nah. Naughty window.
Naughty window. The naughty window here. That is what we've got. Everybody's got their own thing. You've got the Prohibited Portal. You've got Forbidden Door. Naughty window.
Big hi to you, Will. And a big hi to everybody watching through Sean Ross Sapp's Twitter, because I don't very often pop up in live form in Sean's Twitter. So a big hi if you're looking at me through Sean's Twitter whilst, I don't know, having a go at him for something. Hi to you.
Yeah, yelling at him for accurate reporting or something. But
how dare he?
We do have our two championship presences on the show kind of back to back here. As you mentioned, we have Athena kicking off the show, followed by the Undisputed Kingdom in a proving ground match in both instances. Decent matches both here. Let's start with Athena's because that kicked off the show. But this is kind of closer to what you wanted of a proving ground match, and that the lovely Viva Van, say that 10 times fast, who looked great and we've seen on ROH before. She's a fantastic standout on the indies. She came closer to the 10 minutes than a lot of Athena's, I'll say, victims have before. But this was largely dominated by Athena, as you would kind of come to expect from this. There was a nice arm breaker in here from Viva Van, but This was Athena getting the win. She was kind of toying with Viva at the end of this. Like, just like, you can't last the time limit, but I'm going to make you think you are until I just club you down for for the win and the pin here. But this was kind of what we've come to expect from Athena. Good to see her in action. She looked like she had a nasty spill a couple episodes ago where her knee might have gotten caught through the ropes, but it was clearly not too serious, which is great news because she is the workhorse of this brand. But some good stuff here from a Proving Ground match. My only complaint about this is, and let me be clear, very excited to see Viva Van on the show more and more. But you would think the women in the locker room who just went through the TV title tournament might want a shot at the title, might want to get their hands on a Proving Ground match. That's a continued frustration that I've had, is that the Proving Ground matches always go to people who are on the independents who aren't reoccurring, that you know are going to lose. So I would like to see somebody that was in that TV title tournament reappear here. Where is Layla Hirsch? Where is Taya Valkyrie? Like, people like that getting Proving Ground matches, I think, would add some suspense at least to this. But from what we got tonight, a strong match. I appreciate when people at least encroach the time limit so you can plant some sort of believability in my head. But what did you think of this, my arch nemesis?
Well, my arch nemesis, I'm a big fan of Viva Van. I had the pleasure of chatting to Viva for about an hour and a half during lockdown. She was a guest on Desert Island Graps, and she's great. She's got an incredible story. No one does it like Viva Van does.
Tom, I think if you look down, it looks like you dropped a name, but just like
hang on,
just name dropping
up
over there. Oh, an hour and a half. Yes, Viva Van. There you go.
There she is. I'll just pop that on the Cultaholic podcast feed for you to check out whatever you like. Next to Steve Macklin, who was on this week. Now, but that being said, completely agree with what you're saying, in the sense that it is weird that these Proving Ground matches go to people who aren't necessarily in the mix. When you consider that Ring of Honor have this, and they mentioned it tonight a few times, where you've got, like, you have to rack up a certain number of wins to be in the consideration for a title match. It's disconnect for me, where you say, oh, you have to pick up 5 or 6 wins and then maybe we'll start seeing some contracts come out for title matches. But, oh, hello, I'm a rando from the indies. I'm just going to have a fight with the champion straight away. It's not due to lack of depth. I think it's due to lack of ideas. I think Athena is currently between stations at the moment. There is nobody on the Ring of Honor roster that has the Kavorka of Athena.
Hell yeah.
She has the swagger that, unfortunately, is now at a point where she's ready to go. But there's nobody behind her outside of, like, a baby face Billy Starks, which doesn't seem possible now, that can fill the void that she would leave. And these random matches with excellent talent like Viva Van, and that's not a diss to Viva Van in the slightest, but it doesn't help in filling that void that would definitely be left when she takes her rightful place on a higher echelon than Ring of Honor.
Agreed. We also saw this incredible match between Athena and Sheeta. And
yes,
I'm kind of wondering why we're not using, because the women's division in AEW has grown so much, but there are still women that aren't being utilized there, and having them come down to Ring of Honor and one of them to throw at Athena, maybe, so that you're kind of trading if you don't feel like anyone is there. I feel like there's people there that, if they gave them consistent reps, could be made by beating Athena, like a Layla Hirsch or someone. But just have Sheeta win it next time if you don't feel like someone can be made by that, I guess. But it is very odd. It is very odd. I'm glad you're a Viva Van star. Viva Van star. Viva Van fan. I think
a Viva
she's a
fan,
star.
If you will.
A Viva fan, exactly. I think she's great as well, and certainly not a slight at her. It's a slight at the booking of a Proving Ground match to say, what are we really doing? And the women's division in ROH has been such a strength. We've seen a lot of that get pared down since we kind of switched to this 1 hour format, which I like, but it's just been less women's matches and a lot of squashes. So we'll see. We'll see what is to come. But we got some more chats from Taylor Cannon, who is so kind and so wonderful and supportive of us. We thank you, Taylor. Next time they'll only say hi to me because Tom stinks. Shame Monster is saying TMD Kate, that's
getting
me.
Banned from Twitter again if you're not careful.
Ban me from YouTube. Ban me from it all.
Oh, I've got connections. I certainly will.
Listen, you gave me the most peaceful week of my life when that happened, so I'll take it. But
wait till August. It'll be the loudest. Sorry, carry on.
Seeing Athena limp like Cope after that match sucked. Hope she's good. How we feeling about Zach Knight so far? I'm on board. We're going to talk about Zach Knight in a little bit. We will get there, but you might have some more special attachments to him than I do. But let's move into our next Proving Ground match, which was a tag team match with Nick Comoroto and Jacoby Watts. And this is a little bit weird of an act, not going to lie, but we do have our second Proving Ground match. If you don't know in the chat what a Proving Ground match means, is you have to either beat the champion or you have to last 10 minutes in the ring with the champion and then you earn a title shot. So you don't have to get the pin, but you do have to not lose within a 10-minute time frame in order to earn a title shot. Happens very rarely on Ring of Honor. In this rendition, we've seen, I think, just the infantry do it and nobody else, because the infantry is actually on the roster. But this Proving Ground match was an interesting one. You get the nice code of honor in the beginning. Comoroto with kind of a new look. He's definitely one of the biggest guys around. Heavy strikes in this that were super, super fun, especially against Taven, who was a size differential for him, which I liked. You do get Taven getting in this, though, and Bennett entering to knock Comoroto around a little bit since he has a bit more size. And then you have Watts convincing Comoroto that he doesn't need to tag in, which I thought was an interesting kind of character
I believe in you.
Yeah, I believe in you. You've got this. I'm good. But you get Bennett with the Spicoli driver for the win. Watts not entering the match here, which makes sense because I felt as though he was going to be more of a managerial figure in a lot of senses. He didn't really present himself as a proper tag team partner. So this is one where I feel like they should not have proven the ground, probably. Like, that would have felt like a weird hot shot. And this did advance the story, so I don't mind it as much. Comoroto still has some fluidity stuff to work on, I think. But overall, I was happy to see him getting reps. They've changed his presentation from, like, bad guy beast to extremely silly guy with a lollipop, and now it feels like they have maybe more of a creative plan in place for him moving forward. But it is kind of fun to have a bruiser around because we don't really have a lot of those in ROH. They're all kind of sucked up into the main roster, so I'm glad we have someone who works like him around. And ROH is for improving, right? But this kind of Bible thumping dude, I'm still feeling out. It doesn't feel like a character that is for me. But I won't judge it before we get to see a little bit more out of it, because it's very, very new to the program. So it is kind of interesting that he was like, I don't need to be in this. I believe in you. Kind of fun heel psychology there. Just weird he was using heel psychology on his own partner so soon. But what did you think of this?
I like Jacoby Watts, like a Jamestown JBL type figure.
Okay, I can buy that.
There's something in the idea of him leading like a congregation of people in his way,
okay,
and like a cult following, but not like a spooky one, because I'm a bit burned out on spooky factions now.
Me too.
But something a little bit more maybe ecclesiastical type thing, and I like it a lot. Nick Comoroto, who if you've fallen out of Ring of Honor and you've dipped back in, you barely recognize him from who he was a few years ago in AEW. He now looks like the guy playing Wolverine in X-Men the Musical.
That's a musical. I love it.
I like him as a goofy boy, because there's enough meatheads on the roster, and him kind of being sucked in by this Jacoby Watts thing is really fun. The fact that Jacoby didn't get tagged in at all, and then even afterwards, Nick was still going, oh yeah, but come on, I believe in you. And like, there's a lovely story being told there. I want to see a few more people join this. I don't know if we need Jacoby Watts to be a wrestler. I think that is a persona that definitely feels like a managerial type, a bit JBL, a bit Robert Lee Parker. And I'd like to see more of that. But it's, again, same issue that I had with Athena's match, in the sense that you've got this tag team division that you're building in Ring of Honor and you have to earn a certain amount of matches. The main event match had like tag team implications, which was the reason that we had that in the main event. And it's just like, oh, here's these guys who are just maybe getting a title match, despite the fact there are others who have been grafting to earn it ahead of them. So I don't like that. I don't know. I like the concept of proving ground. I think these matches are going to the wrong people, though.
I agree. I feel like in the ROH of yore, and I try not to compare eras all that much, but it always felt like those were going toward established young upstarts who were on the cusp of something. And so it made you think maybe they could sneak one. Like maybe they could earn something that was going to lead to like a surprise title reign or whatever. You at least had this kind of buy-in factor. It does not feel that way in this ROH. It feels like if you're in the division, you have a worse shot of getting a title shot than some random person on the indies, which is not how that should work. But I'm with you on a lot of what you said. I think Jacoby Watts leading a congregation could be a really fun angle. Agreed that you don't necessarily need him in ring, but adding more people to this, I think, is probably the best shot of it working. Fully agree with you there. But we move on to what was probably the most superfluous match of the night. I think that's probably fair to say.
Yeah, we could have not had it, but I'm kind of glad we did, because I like both guys involved. They were fun.
Agreed. This is a solo outing for Serpentico, who has a new mask. The only thing that I will say is Serpentico coming out alone for this. Like, one of my chief complaints about ROH is that we have so much mix of who is on what brands and in what divisions. And Serpentico just got a tag team win last week with Angelico, or at least was it a tag team match? They might have lost. I think they won.
But they're in a tag team.
They were in a tag team at the very least. And now he's out here picking up a singles win. And commentary, who is the best commentary in the game for my money, Ian Riccaboni and Caprice all day. They're trying their best here to be like, he's picking up momentum. And I'm like, is he going to be in a trio next week? Who knows? But this match was pretty fun. Serpentico, a lot like John Cruz, even though they're so different. It's hard to make this comparison. But really, both of them, the only similarity between the two is that they're very good at giving a story to something that doesn't necessarily have a strong story and making young talent look good, in my opinion. And Serpentico can really kind of crank up the pacing of a match or slow it down based on his opponent. This had a lot of really fun, fast-paced stuff in it, a lot of really, really smooth stuff in here. Brady Roberts, clearly no slouch either, had the upper hand a lot in this, which I liked. Like, it's believable that Serpentico would lose because we see a lot of that. But a really fun surfboard spot in here, in a somewhat literal sense. Serpentico was face down on this. Some chops in the corner from Serpentico in this as well. But ultimately, he hits the senton for the win. It doesn't feel like this is necessarily going anywhere, but it didn't hurt on such a thin episode to have this match in here. I was impressed by what we saw out of Brady Roberts. He definitely knows how to work a ring, but Serpentico really knows how to... He's very versatile in how he can adapt to his opponents, for sure, in my opinion. What say you, Tom Cable?
I did some digging into Brady Roberts, because the big thing that they talked about on comms is that he's a movie star and a wrestler. So I went on Brady Roberts' IMDb. And he's done some stuff. He played Nightwing in Nightwing Prodigal, so he's played a DC hero. He played a thug in Minority Report, but he's uncredited, so good luck finding him. He's in there somewhere, and he's also listed as playing a security guard on Raw and SmackDown over between like 2013 and 2017. So I don't know when he's popped up there, but chances are you have seen him separating wrestlers on WWE television. So okay. He's a jobbing actor. He's, you know, you got to work where you got to work.
That's it.
I enjoyed him here, though. I enjoyed him here. But I love Serpentico. Like, I follow Serpentico on Twitter. The stuff that I really want, the stuff with him and Nyla Rose, whilst it's found a home on some of the indie circuits, it need like that on Ring of Honor television would just be magnificent. 100%. Oh my gosh, that'd be so much fun to bring that into it. Does Serpentico, is it me? And I'm not like, I couldn't do it. So I'm not, I ain't saying I do any better. Does Serpentico hit a really slow senton compared to other people? I don't know what it is. I guess maybe when I see someone like a Jeff Hardy hitting a swanton, it's very fluid, very energetic motion. Serpentico almost goes in slow motion as he does it. And it just threw me a little bit. Like, he sort of goes through a time portal and just moves a bit slower as he rotates. Did the job anyway. It was just a weird observation. Maybe I'm tired.
Maybe you're watching on delay because it's like 3 a.m. your time. Yeah.
Maybe it's taken a while to beam from America. But I've got a lot of time for Serpentico. Whilst he, like I said, he's obviously doing stuff in the tag team in Ring of Honor, but there's part of me that just goes, bin that off, do the stuff with Nyla Rose, do the odd couple stuff with Nyla Rose on Ring of Honor. That'd just be fun.
Yeah, a mixed tag program would be very fun. That is,
and Tony wants to bring in more belts. He wants to bring in a mixed tag belt because, you know, we haven't got enough belts because not everyone's got one yet. So why not have
guys Oprah Winfrey with belts? You get a belt.
Look under your chair. That's a title belt. Look under
your chair. Oh my God, it was me. I got one.
We're all champions. Thank you, Tony.
Goodness. It is. I don't think any of the creative issues in AEW have to do with the lack of belts. I'll put it that way.
No, more belts.
I would love for more belts on Ring of Honor. I just want the ones that already exist on Ring of Honor, please.
So greedy, Kate. Like, you have two proving ground matches and you want more, for God's sake.
I want more. I genuinely think that a mixed tag, I didn't hate it when WWE did it, like a mixed tag tournament of some sort, because there are talent that isn't being used. Doing that as like a YouTube thing without a title, just a tournament, could be really fun. Of like, you have some couples in there. You have Nyla and Serpentico, right? Like, you could create some really, really fun things. You could have Julia and Brody when Julia is healthy, like, just as a separate YouTube thing, I think could be super, super fun. I don't think we need more belts, but I think that could be a cool program.
Tony, more belts. Bring us more belts.
No more belts. Just
Sean,
the belts.
Tell Tony more belts.
I'm gonna mute you so hard. No more belts, just the existing belts.
Promises.
On the programs that they exist for is all that I ask. I'll ask you this too, because I brought up YouTube content for AEW. I was in favor of Meat Madness being a full March Madness style tournament. Oh. That might be too American. I don't know, you tell me, but like a 64-man Meat Madness tournament, I think would rule.
I'm for them leaning into the meat more. And it's a sad thing that we didn't see it happen because they didn't have the right number of people there ready to pull it off or whatever. But I love the Meat Madness proposition. And we absolutely, someone needs to lean into it. If it's not AEW, it needs to be WWE. Girthy boys are cool again. And I think we should fully embrace it. Hey, Tony, what about a meat championship for all the meat boys? Let's add a belt there. Let's add that belt as well. We'll do a meat tag belt, a meat singles belt, a meat TV belt. Do all of them. Meat continental belt. We don't have enough.
Oh, no. Is your audio? Are you having issues? Oh, no. That's a shame. That's a shame. You know what? While Tom is fixing his audio over there, I'm going to call up this very generous chat from Bridget, who says, I'm so happy to see Tom on the show tonight. He's awesome. Look, I like you. Sending in $25 chats. That makes me look really good, and I appreciate it. But you're going to put Tom over in the process after our feud? After we've been throwing fisticuffs this whole time?
She knows where the power lies. Bridget, you get a belt.
I don't... Bridget, you know what? Bridget does get a belt. Bridget does get a belt. You get the super chat belt for today.
Wait.
We should have a super chat belt and award it every episode.
Tony.
No. Sean.
Sean, tell Tony.
Would bring it. See, you're bringing in money and I still can't have you back. What a pain. What am I supposed to do with that? But what are we supposed to do with the problem, Marina Shafir, who I was like, is that a librarian who just showed up? She did not look her badass usual self. I was not used to seeing her in street clothes, but it was a fun look. And I love when wrestlers who aren't wrestling that night aren't in gear, because that always looks extremely silly. But I barely recognized her kind of off the bat with her cool glasses, but I liked them.
Is this a new energy for Marina Shafir?
Well, she's still I don't want to say problematic, like that there's issues with her, but she's still a problem, according to her. She has this interview with Lexi Nair, and they discuss her being a problem that nobody in ROH can really solve. And she says that if you don't take care of a problem, it gets worse. So I don't know if her look was just a cool thing that we get to see what she looks like outside of having no shoes on and her badass gear, or if we're like switching up the playbook. Her style, I think, is really cool. And the more rep she gets, the better she gets. Like, she's definitely, Anna Jay falls into that category too. I feel like when I see them have frequent reps, they're just more comfortable, more fluid. And I know Marina's been working a lot on the indies, doing some great work there. Shane Monster says, I thought it was a terrifying mom look. She didn't talk about her son last week, so maybe this is just her being like, I'm a mom, but I'm about to remind you of the problem that I am. We didn't get a lot of backstages tonight. This one was fast and effective. I enjoyed it. What did you think of the problem becoming a worse problem?
It was Marina Shafir looking like a stern mother wearing glasses saying we're about to have a problem. I was fine with this.
That is the most English thing you've said so far tonight.
Well, okay. I could go more English and go, well, blimey.
I'll take it.
I took it as well. I like Marina Shafir. Why? Like, I know, obviously, we had a run around with Shafir and Rousey and Athena and Billy, but let's run that back again. Come on.
She would be a fun challenger for that.
She'd be a great challenger.
What do you think? Also me and also me.
Not weird they've said nothing all night. They've just stared wistfully at the top of my head. Holding their chest, so maybe they're having heart palpitations at the same time.
That's true. It's your heart skips a beat when you just know you're going to kick somebody's butt at Wembley Way, but... You know, is what it is. Is what it is. Guys, we're having fun tonight. Leave a thumbs up on this video, please. Get in your super chats. No humper chats tonight. This is a super chat program only. It's PG. We don't do that humper chat business around here, I guess. I just don't have access to it. But we appreciate that. We'll also take a quick moment to remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. News about Chad Gable and his contract suit approaching went up today. Makes sense. It feels like there's been a couple of hiccups in that IC title picture. Felt like for sure he was going to win, and now it doesn't feel like we have had terms. Becky Lynch, promise you guys, when there's an update, we will have it for you. Sean is very steadily on that beat for sure. There's just tons of contract news still coming down the pike. I don't know what to tell you. Dijak is still floating around out there. He's been drafted to Raw, hasn't been on TV, getting the Odyssey Jones treatment. What is going on with contracts in WWE? Sean Ross Sapp is going to have all the scoop skis that you can get and more. There's some New Japan contract news, I think, on its way. So be prepared. A lot of free agency happening this month and the rest of this year in general. But in addition to that, a couple of really great things you get with Fightful Select. The Discord, so you can avoid Twitter and getting yourself banned on it if people are being mean or weird to you.
Oh, I might join then, because there's people are weird and mean to me all the time on Twitter.
Well, just know that I have mod powers, okay? So if you try to start anything, I will kick you out. But thank you for being a
subscriber. But you said mom powers then. I was like, what are you going to do?
I mean, basically.
Take me to my room without my dinner.
What is a mod if not really just a digital mom for the Discord environment? But also bonus podcasts back there. You get me and Alex Pawlowski doing pay-per-view post shows, PLE post shows back there as well. You also get Sean Ross Sapp's Q&A. There is a Q&A channel in the Discord where he broke some news yesterday before even writing it up. So join that Discord. But also the Q&A show is just a nice, usually around 45 minutes aggregation of everybody's questions that he's able to get answers for the week. So lot of value at FightfulSelect.com. Best $5.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Think about that, Bridget. You could have given away 5 months of Fightful Select instead of saying that Tom is cool, okay?
That was the best $25 in the business.
You know what? Makes me look good. I'll take it. I'll take it. But we move on to Red Velvet and Kel, who is tall.
I'm sorry, but I don't know what it is. I'm a sucker for fun comedy timing. And it was the Red Velvet got the intro, and then they went, and her opponent, Kel. Oh, wow, she's tall.
Caprice is unbelievable.
There's so like, vague.
He is so... Him and Ian are just a married couple at this point, I feel like, in commentary. Like, Ian is my favorite play-by-play guy. And there's also some real magic that happens with him and Nigel McGuinness when he's on those collision shows or anytime that they are sharing a booth together. Their call of Bullet Club Gold versus FTR is one of my favorite calls ever. And that was almost an hour. But like Caprice has this really special energy where he offsets his ability to give a wrestler's perspective on things and so much ROH history because he's been a part of it for so long, with just like an absolute party of a personality on commentary. And he had a couple of those every episode, but sure, right here, I had the same thought at you when he was like, she's tall, because you genuinely have that reaction watching at home, right? You immediately notice that about her, but she is a former basketball player. She's got, 8 inches taller than Red Velvet, probably, at least in this. But you have Velvet kind of stepping into the more veteran role in this, able to keep her off of her feet a lot. Like, I like that Red Velvet had a game plan in this of, she's taller than me, but not when she's on her knees. That's fine by me, but there's some shoulder blocks and some knees in this, and she kind of wears Kel down to pick up the pin. But the post-match is where the real magic happens. You get Athena's music hitting, and Velvet faces her. And of course, Billy Starks in street clothes, looking really badass, I gotta say. Just bashes Red Velvet's face into the belt and knocks her out. And she bolts as the ref tends to Velvet in the ring. Match was fine. It was very one-sided, so not a lot to write home about. But I think there's something really cool when you have a height advantage over people, but not necessarily like a huge weight advantage over people. It just feels different. Like, it feels like your advantage is different when you're towering over someone, but you kind of have a leaner frame. In good ways and bad, right? You don't have the strength advantage, but you do kind of have the idea of everybody has to come in and try and knock you down, which is pretty cool. This is, in 24 hours, the third, oh my God, someone behind me has attacked me angle that we've had between AEW and ROH. They've done it twice with Swerve, who of anybody I feel like should be one of the most street smart champions that you've ever had, and assumes that people are going to be around when he's talking to somebody that has very notable friends, largely because he has led multiple stables, but three times in a 24-hour period. I know it's different programs, but I watch a lot of wrestling. Just too much. We're running this trope into the ground. Other than that, Billy looked fierce. Like, that shot to the title was something else. So This was perfectly serviceable and advancing along what it needed to advance. But what did you think of this?
Yeah, I think Tony Khan needs to update his copy of EWR because we're getting the same finishes to each match. But regardless of that, to Kel, I thought, give Kel some time. There's something there. I don't think it was here. It was just there to kind of give Red Velvet a dub. I enjoyed Billy Stark's little comedy run up to Velvet just before she attacked her. I never thought I'd get behind a heel Billy Starks. I think Billy Starks for me was always one that was almost too adorable to hate, but then she's really manifested in ROH, this bad persona that doesn't remove her from who she is. It's been really masterful the way that she's done it. She's also very much like Kel. You forget that Billy Starks kind of towers over everybody in the roster as well. Like you said, tall but lean. So everyone kind of has to adapt their style a bit to Billy Starks. And some people do it really well and some people don't. But most of the time, we get magic with her. So a Billy Starks Red Velvet continuation for the women's TV title. I think I'm fine with that. It's just, it's nice to have somebody in a title feud that isn't just I'm waiting for someone to beat me.
Yes,
you know it's actually it feels like it, there's story and some meat behind it. And Billy Starks is the only one currently doing that. And I mean, I'm very much enjoying her work. There was a point where I thought that by having Billy go back with Athena, I felt like a jump the shark moment. But I'm putting that shark back in the water because I think maybe we're building to something else. Now, sure. The story has taken a very intriguing turn. Maybe it's Billy that sends Athena packing, a baby-faced Athena sent packing by a heel, Billy Starks. And that is the way that we see Athena off the roster. Off to AEW, maybe. But I do like Evil Billy now. I'm on board, fully on board with Evil Billy.
Could not agree more with what you said. I was very hesitant about her being paired back with Athena. I was very hesitant about her working heel, but she not only has mastered the heel character, her in-ring work, the way that she's adapted it as well. I feel like that's something that can kind of get lost is the adaptation of how you actually work as a heel in the ring versus like, I'm a bad guy with the same exact in-ring maneuvers. And to your point about Billy's height, she also has very long limbs, and I would love to see her in a match with like a Serena Deeb or a Layla Hirsch or Deonna, somebody more technical, because I feel like attacking limbs with somebody so technical when they're as long as Billy's is, especially with Layla Hirsch, because she has such a height advantage on Layla. I want to see that. Like, I want to see that match.
Layla Hirsch, like, pulling and tearing at the limbs of Billy Starks like a limpet, like, wearing her down would be a fantastic match. That'd be a wonderful way to sell, like, the bollard-like strength of Layla Hirsch. And the tenacity of a Billy Starks. I'd love that. In my head, when you mention Layla Hirsch and Billy Starks, potentially the match, I see Layla Hirsch with her entire body wrapped around one of Billy Starks' legs in a leg lock for about 4 minutes. Yes. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, and Billy would sell the hell out of it. I think it could be super fun. Super, super fun. We got some more love coming in for you, unfortunately, saying, I can't wait for Total Nonstop Arseholes next big single. Good stuff. I can't even deny that. That is just good stuff out there. I sing that every day, says NYUSC99. What a wonderful, wonderful chat. Thank you so much. Also, give me, Nigel, Kate, and Tom on commentary one night in ROH.
Oh, the world ain't ready for that, Jelly. I don't think.
I wouldn't be able to hold it together. I don't fangirl all that often. Nigel McGuinness, I could never do it. I just can't. I went to his magic show and was just like, this is the coolest thing ever. I just love Nigel so much.
He's so good. He seems like a really lovely egg as well. He seems like a really interesting guy to be around.
His work, like in the ROH of yore, especially, but also on commentary and I will talk about Nigel's.
We should try and take him for a pint after our fight at Wembley Way.
Oh my gosh. He should be the special guest referee.
Even better. And then we'll all go for a pint. I think, you know, you miss all the chances you don't take. So it's we true. Should invite Nigel McGuinness for a pint after our fight on Wembley Way.
I'm in. I could not be more in on that.
Fantastic.
I booked. This is going to shock you not even a little bit. You're going to be the least shocked by this information. But everybody's calling for Danielson and Nigel at Wembley.
Oh, yes. The slow burn on that has been excellent. Like, Nigel was ready to go last year, it seemed.
I know, but I feel like Danielson has largely been in the creative mix too much. And I don't think in his retirement year they would do that match, because if he's going to be part-time, attraction matches are what you can do in his part-time run. So I thought, if only there was another extremely technical Brit that hasn't worked Wembley yet, who calls everybody dickhead.
Giant Haystack.
You know what? Why not? Let's do that too. ZSJ Nigel. Oh, man.
Oh, nah, that would be good fun. That would be great, but I do think the money is in Danielson and McGuinness, and I think that it'll happen for the same reasons you think it won't, because Danielson is kind of in the creative mix and he is kind of starting to wind down a bit, and it feels like he's just ticking off a lot of dream matches. Let's get this done before he calls it.
I mean, I would love it. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like if that's a match you can do in someone's post-career, you might as well, because that's also something that would draw if you wanted to throw it on WrestleDream or whatever, right?
But so, Wembley is the place to do it for the Nigel McGuinness connection. And I don't know how long. I would hope that they would do Wembley every year, but I don't know whether they will. I don't think All In 2024 has sold as well as All In 2023.
Sure.
Wembley's an expensive place to run. Sure. And whether or not they would want to stretch it and do it every year, I don't know. So if this is potentially the last year they do it, or it could be, get them on there sooner rather than later.
That's also making a huge leap that Nigel is cleared and okay to do it. But yeah, no, I would love it. I'm just thinking if they're going to have Danielson in the mix against present day stars, yeah. I would not be mad. I would not be mad about Nigel versus ZSJ at all.
There is that. Zack Sabre Jr. would be fabulous at that, in that role.
Speaking of British Zacks, what a segue that I didn't even try. That was teed up for me.
Wonderful.
Just by this card.
What a pro, ladies and gentlemen. What a pro.
Thank you. We get Zach Knights and Sebastian Wolfe. And I feel like some people, my Tuesday night co-host Alex Pulaski, said Zach Knight looks like British Karrion Kross. And so he took that very personally and said, I am going to be British Sheamus and go from Ireland to this. Feels genuinely like you can speak to the authenticity of the look much better than I can. It right. does feel a little close to what a go-go has been presented as
And here is the thing. Anthony Ogogo dresses like that, flat cap and a long coat. Zach Knight, flat cap and a long coat. Sheamus, flat cap and a long coat. Ridge Holland, during his initial run, flat cap and a long coat. All those people representing the Peaky Blinders look. It's a Peaky Blinders look. And none of those people emanate from where Peaky Blinders is based, which is Birmingham in the West Midlands. So that look is exclusive to there, but they've gone, oh, Peaky Blinders, that's a big deal. Let's get every UK wrestler dressing like Peaky Blinders.
I will say with the go-go, I like it because he's so built. It's like almost not becoming of him in a good way. Like, it feels like he's like, we're watching him be too physically built for the look, and it kind of comes across as really badass in a way. Zach Knight almost looked like he was trying to advertise that he was British. It felt like a lot to my American eyes.
Have you watched Peaky Blinders, Kate?
I haven't. I've been yelled at by several people that I need to.
Well, for those who are listening who are watching it, I have a fun little trivia fact. Thomas Shelby, aka actor Cillian Murphy, is currently 13 miles away, 13 miles away from where I'm sat. because they are in the northeast of England filming a new zombie survival horror film. So he is in the vicinity, which is quite exciting, the prospect that I could pop into town tomorrow and maybe bump into Thomas Shelby. And then I'll tell him what Zach Knight is doing and he'll be furious.
Well, I guess he's pretty close to me because you are clearly in my office right now as we speak.
Oh, no, this is my office. That makes this even creepier.
But it's my background.
No, this is my wallpaper. I thought it'd be too weird to put you in the Kate Shrine room. So we're in my office instead.
Oh, that isn't, at least that isn't weird. So
you know Hey Arnold, you know Helga.
Is it put together with bubblegum?
I've been collecting all your bubblegum for many years. Sean Ross Sapp has been posting them to me via FedEx.
I knew it. Damn you, Sean. Can't get away from that guy. Over here putting you over on his "so what do you want to talk about" shows and burying me while I'm at the beach kicked out of Twitter. I mean, what?
God, he's a love. He's a love.
Oh, yes. Isn't he just the sweet pea? He is kind of
a canny lad, is our Sean.
He's delightful. I can't even deny it. But Zach Knight and Sebastian Wolf, they make a big deal out of Zach Knight being undefeated. I feel like we haven't seen him in 2 months.
Still undefeated,
and he was on Rampage. But
I haven't had a match since 2020. I'm undefeated.
I haven't had a match ever, and I'm going to be 1-0 after Wembley. So how about that? But we get Knight getting into his gear in time for the match, I guess, here. But he tosses Wolf around. This is a glorified squash here. This is just him laying in some really, really hard blows on poor Sebastian Wolf. Big stalling suplex in this. Huge lariats and a knockout punch at the end. Feel like you can't use the knockout punch. I feel like you can't have two guys dressed the same way come out and end the same move. But point made, right? Zach Knight is undefeated. This is a squash, but it's not like a two moves and go home squash. This is a watch all the different ways I can kick your ass squash. So I appreciate that because I said this the other day. I feel like a lot of times squash matches are like, wow, that guy's really big. And I knew that when I saw that guy. So even in a squash, at least give me a little bit of dimension because I already knew that about the dude when I saw him with my eyes. So we do get some really hard-hitting stuff with Zach Knight here. What did you think about this? Poor Sebastian Wolf, RIP.
Yeah, RIP, MP. RIP, I want to run to you, Sebastian Wolf. got a right shoe in here, lad. I'm happy to see Zach Knight. It's good to see one of the Knight family having a good time on AEW television this week. That's the whole thing.
Sure.
New Saraya figure out this week. Oh, that's wonderful timing. Get them while you can. Zach looked great here. I've been a big fan of Zach for many years. I'm about to drop a name. I'll be ready for it. I've called several of his matches. Oh, there it is. Just going to pick that up, pop that back there again. He's come to see us in Newcastle. He's brilliant. And I'm glad to see him getting his due. One little bit I liked of his, I'll give it a little nod, is when Sebastian Wolf got the vaguest of offense and Zach Knight like rolled out of the ring as if he'd been knocked out of the ring and then spun on his heels, rolled straight back in and decked him again.
That was pretty sweet.
I've never seen it before, and I thought I like that. That's like an extension of the move that Moxley does, which was inspired by World of Sports star Les Kellett, where he bounces off the ropes and then just hits a lariat on the way back through. I liked it a lot. Again, the knockout punch. You've got a go-go on your team, and he's kind of the master of the knockout punch. Maybe a move that isn't a knockout punch.
Yeah, and so much of his character's been built around it already, right? Like, I'm with you on that. Nice to see the Nightmare Factory, now that they've broken up, like, getting reps on ROH, though. We've got a few more of those guys that we're going to talk about in a second. But they just went away for a while. So I was glad that after Cody left and all the Nightmare Factory stuff ended, now we're starting to see them reappear. But Auntie Collins saying, Tom, Katie, coexisting? I am no Katie.
Hey,
I am just Kate.
Are you Rob or Maggie?
I will take the Maggie seat for the continuity of our extremely saucy jokes.
And I will take the exit.
Wow, Rob Wilkins in the mud.
I'm kidding. I'm not man enough to be Rob, so I will, I'll do my best to be. Rob, I love you. I'll be back on soon with more Mel Coleman bootleg artwork to sell.
There you go. That's what you need.
They let me flog me Mel Coleman bootlegs.
I love it.
If you do love Mel Coleman's art, by the way, but you don't want to spend that kind of money, come to me. I'll do you a cheaper version.
There you go. Get Mel the Coleman worst approved. Thing here. So anyway, what's
well
funny
done,
about
Zach,
this?
No. Well done, Zach.
What's fun about this? So my full name is Kate. It's not like Catherine or Kathleen or anything. My parents were like, we're going to call her Kate anyway. We'll just name her Kate. But someone pointed this out to me, and it's kind of true. There is an energetic difference between Kates and Katies that can't really be described. But, like, I'm a Kate and not a Katie. But, like, if you met a Katie, you would be like, oh, that's a Katie, not a Kate.
Totally
there's
with
just
you.
Like, right? Like, there's just, like, a softer energy around the Katies, a little more gentle. And I feel like Kates have a little bit more of, like, a little zip to them.
I'll give a big shout to North Wrestling referee Katie Crosby, who is absolutely every bit of Katie.
Isn't it? You know what that means.
Yeah, I know exactly what that means. And anyone that knows Katie Crosby will know that she is absolutely a Katie in the way that this is described.
It's wild how when I say that, people are like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Angie's saying, phone typo, I'm walking the dogs before my stream. Well, shout out to Angie Collins. Go watch her stream after you watch this stream. But also keep Joel and Cresta on, because everybody has multiple screens these days. Watch one on your phone, watch one on your computer, and rock and roll.
All of them at the same time.
Guys, we're coming down the home stretch with two more matches. Get in any more super chats that you may have, and please leave a thumbs up on this video. As usual, Joel and Cresta coming on to talk some TNA after this, which should be a very exciting show. Not a lot of championship presences on this episode of TNA, but you did get to see Mustafa Ali in action, and I'm sure they're going to have so much to talk about with Jordynne Grace showing up on NXT to challenge Roxanne Perez and the possible implications of TNA and WWE working together. So stay tuned for that. Sean will also continue to poke and prod away on FightfulSelect.com about that working relationship. Is this a one-off? What are we to expect of it? Seems like the talent in both companies really want it. So I'm hoping for an AJ Styles return for the 20th anniversary. I think that could be really special.
Oh, do not threaten me with a good time. That'd be amazing.
Well, Adam Pearce was like, nah, you're not getting another title shot here. Or Nick Aldis, sorry. Nick Aldis was like, nah, no title shots for you. So maybe he's like, fine, I'll go to TNA. I think that could be cool. I would love that too. That would be really special. That would be really special. But we get a triple threat here with Lee Johnson, Aaron Solo, and Action Andretti, who on any given week might be in a tag team or might be in a trio or a single star. We don't know. We don't know. But this match was fun. It was won by Lee Johnson, who you kind of figured just from the rep's perspective, he was in that TV title picture with Kyle Fletcher, grown tremendously in the ring over the course of the past year, 18 months or so. A lot of fun near falls in this, especially later in the match, but you have Andretti with an errant super kick and Johnson slamming Solo for the pin and the win. A fun match here, a fun triple threat. You can tell these guys are all still a little bit younger because there were just some psychology things that either looked a little too choreographed or spots where people looked a little too lost, but that just comes with time and reps, I feel like. There was a lot of this that felt like, okay, then you go and then I go and then this happens or whatever. But just nitpicking, because that's what we are here to do. But this was very high energy, a lot of fun, some good super kicks in this, especially, I will say. But that standing moonsault for Andretti was probably the biggest spot of the match where he tried to get both of them. Couldn't get the job done, but an impressive spot nonetheless. Decent match. I don't really have any complaints about this. Lee Johnson continuing to pick up wins is great. Would love for him to be the kind of guy that gets a Proving Ground match. That seems like the track that we're used to for Proving Ground matches. Of like, this young guy, hasn't had a title yet, picking up some wins, getting some momentum, had a title shot and lost. Like, he feels like the kind of guy that should get a proving ground match and actually prove his ground. But what did you think of our triple threat tonight? And how are you feeling about what we got out of Big Shotty Lee in this?
Well, big shout to Action Andretti, who is like Tony Khan trying to grow his own Will Ospreay in a pot of soil. And I do love him.
It's Kyle Fletcher. He's already like three quarters of the way grown, man.
He grew two at the same time. One got more sun than the other.
Yeah.
And but Action Andretti played the Shelton Benjamin tonight because they did the Shelton Sean spot near the end of that match.
Yes, springboard into
the super kick. Lovely stuff. Absolutely the right guy won in Lee Johnson. And they even talk about, oh, he should be maybe getting a title shot soon. Yes, he should. We shouldn't be talking about randos on the indie scene getting proving ground matches. It should be Lee. Like, Lee should be in the mix now. And if that match doesn't put him over the top, I don't know what else he needs to do.
Agreed. And also,
where is our champion?
I would love to know. We have literally not seen Mark Briscoe since he won. If he's doing dad stuff, that's awesome. But cut a promo. Anything, man. Anything. Oh, man. But we move on to our main event. This was fun because we got some hometown reaction for the Bollywood boys showing up here and the premier athletes, Arya Daivari and Tony Nese. I continue to put Josh Woods on the side of a milk carton.
Yeah, where is he? Is he injured?
I don't know. I should ask Sean that, actually, because he's been a notable absence. He was doing really cool stuff in the Pure Picture, and then the Pure Picture disappeared entirely. But they did these cool vignettes where they brought all three of these guys back. And then twice now we've had tag matches without Josh Woods and with Daivari and Nese. So I just think the world of Josh Woods. I think he's one of the most complete wrestlers that I've ever seen in my life. Like, the Technical Beast is such a perfect name for him, and that's why it was such a fun flavor for the Pure Division. Is he is very technical, but he's a big dude, and so he just moved different than everybody in the Pure Division. But this match was fun. I was very happy to see the Bollywood boys back in action. I always felt like they were drastically underrated in the role that they played when they were in WWE, and they know how to move. They know how to sell. This was good. This was good. So happy to see them here. You get a fun ending to this with the Bollywood boys being dragged into the ring and dished out some punishment until the infantry comes down to the ring with chairs to even things out. The premier athletes are chased out of here, and you get a nice moment with the infantry and the Bollywood boys standing tall. But this match was all sorts of fun. This was a really good showing for the Bollywood boys. They know how to sell the hell out of stuff for people like Daivari and Nese. A lot of hot tags in here that were fun. Some smart isolating from Tony Nese, taking the brothers apart from each other, which is always such a heartbreaking spot when they're related. But this was fun. I had no problem with this. I like when you get a hometown pop. I love the Bollywood boys. I think this is awesome that they were there. What did you think of our final match of the night?
Bollywood
second
boys
to last. Sorry.
I was gonna say I didn't want to correct you, Kate. I thought I dreamed the final match, but that's fine. I know we're in a rush, but let's
you can correct the other Kates.
I will the Katie's.
Just be like other Kates. There's another other match Kate. To talk
there
about.
There are no other Kates.
Oh,
Bollywood boys are the alumnus of Mosscrop Secondary School, by the way, in their hometown, which is the same school that Ian James Corlett went to, who was the voice of adult Goku in Dragon Ball Z in the 90s. Just wanted to chuck that in there.
What fun facts you've arrived
fun
with
factoids.
Tonight. I love that.
Big shout to comms who say the Bang Bang Gang are on the prowl. They could be looking at these lads for a trios match. No, they weren't. They're in Ring of Honor. Great move by Nese at the end. Very unpopular result because they're the hometown heroes, but sure. Infantry look great.
Yeah.
Just a force of nature, those boys are. And I mean, again, get them in there with the kingdom again. Let's do that. But in the meantime, premier athletes in the infantry, nice gimmicky match for the pay-per-view. There's a story there. Let's tell some stories in the tag division.
Let's tell some stories in the tag division, indeed. Let's also bring back stakes to these matches.
For title implications of stakes.
That would be neat. That would be neat. If the people that worked there had title implications on their matches. Would be cool. But we get a quick vignette, speaking of Proving Ground matches, that we've got Dalton Castle versus Kyle Fletcher next week, and not a Proving Ground match, just a straight up title shot. So explain that to me. Dalton Castle doesn't have to prove his ground, but everybody else does. He just walks in and gets a title shot, which makes no sense. But happy to see Dalton Castle return. Ever since the boys got stripped, we haven't really seen him around all that much. So very happy to see him. He's such a shot in the arm to the product. No denying that. He has been an absolute pillar of this era of Ring of Honor and of previous eras as well. But any thoughts on that? I was just happy to see that Dalton's returning.
That just like you say, happy that we're getting a title match on Ring of Honor TV next week. And Dalton Castle is, like you say, he's a throwback to the era before. And there isn't many of those. It's him and Mark Briscoe and maybe a couple of others. So he is a throwback. And I'd like the idea of making him TV champion, I'll be honest with you. I think he could carry that belt magnificently if you give him the chance to.
I think so, too. I thought for sure that was what we were going to get before Kyle Fletcher won. Like, I thought that was the direction we were headed. They ended up making such magic out of the stuff with him and Johnny TV, though. So can't tell me that was the wrong decision for him, because, man, oh, man, that was a blast. But we move along to what was actually our last match of the night, our main event, which was Top Flight, Dante and Darius Martin versus the Workhorsemen, JD Drake and Anthony Henry. Still very happy to see him back, man. I was so heartbroken when he was injured and let go. They immediately decided to rectify that, which makes me very, very happy, because he offers something so special, and so does JD Drake. And working together or separate, like, I just feel like there's a lot of magic to be had with that. So very happy that they're back. You have Henry and Darius starting things off with some quick exchanges in this that were fun, because Darius is Darius and Anthony Henry's a hard-hitting son of a bitch. So this was very, very fun. And then you have Drake entering, kind of no-selling some chops, which I love, because JD Drake is the guy with chops on this brand. Holy crap, Daphne, calm down. But you get an amazing backflip off
Daphne's
the back.
Daphne's other personality, by the way. It's not a dog.
It's one of these three Kates that you have on here, okay? You never know who I'm talking to. But some more good isolation spots in this from JD Drake, which is nice to see. You get a two count, no pin on this from the double stomp from Henry onto the back of Durante, but they keep it rolling. They keep it rolling through here. You have some attacking of Henry's surgically repaired jaw that looks great with some punches here. But Henry, the legal man, you get a side slam on Henry. Top Flight get the pin and the win in this. A really fun main event. Like, probably my favorite match of the night on the card. And belonged in the main event spot. Again, more tag team action would be nice to have stakes. We were doing four corners matches like every 10 minutes before. So I don't know why we strayed away from those in favor of Proving Ground matches for people that aren't around. But I've got a lot of questions about ROH, Tom. What did you think of our main event for the night?
Rick Abonnie with the call of Drake a Southern Fried Bam Bam Bigelow. It was wonderful.
Phenomenal. He's so good, man.
And he was a real palate cleanser in this match. He was just the big beefy boy, but got pace to him. I like when he bounced Darius off the ropes outside the ring, like showing that there's that strength that meshes well with that fast style. Darius got some blood in the mouth in that last quarter.
Looked like it, yeah.
Yeah, couldn't see where he got that from, but hope he is all right. This is the return of the Workhorseman, because Anthony Henry got let go.
Right.
And then has been hired back on a per show deal, which is lovely to see. Welcome back, Workhorseman. Can you lose to Top Flight? Yes, we can. Thank you very much. And the show ends, and that's the main event. And you realize hardly any mention of the Ring of Honor world champion, Mark Briscoe. And I know we've talked about that a few times. We've talked about Mark Briscoe more than Ring of Honor talked about Mark Briscoe.
Yes,
this week.
We have.
Really conspicuous by his absence. They gave us that somewhat hot-shotted Greek moment at Supercard of Honor, and then nothing. shrouded in mystery. There needs to be something for Mark, and nothing wrong with a video promo or somebody calling him out, but nothing. Like the Ring of Honor world title doesn't even exist at the moment. It's so strange.
It is really weird that, like, even if he's on paternity leave, that means the title is gone from the program too. Like, that there's no mention of a challenger. There's no contention build up. Like, there's very few people in the men's singles division, just in general, because sometimes they're all in tag teams or trios. And then on top of that, like, who feels like contenders for what titles is kind of lost on me, other than Lee Johnson. Like, it feels like Lee Johnson is probably the way to go. We thank Sean for becoming a YouTube member. Very much appreciated there. But Tom, it's like 4 a.m. your time. We made it. We're so happy that you came. Kate, also, thank you so much for being here. I can't say enough about your contributions to the show.
And I think these are my favorite, Kate, tonight.
You know what? They might be my favorites, too. But all I'm saying is you're talking to me right now, and we're talking ROH AEW. If you don't think they're going to attack you from behind when we try and leave this stream, you are in a rough spot. But we are joined by the beautiful Cresta, and Joel is here, so that's cool.
Hi. Hello, everybody. Hi.
Hi.
Joel, where are you? This is not your usual setup.
No, it's not.
What are you doing here?
I'm in a library, not a public one. I'm in the one in my building. So you get this tonight.
Hey, we're happy you made it. Is there something going on in your abode?
My mother is visiting, so she gets my office.
So you're hiding from her.
That, and she gets my office.
It's a dual purpose situation. Well,
he doesn't want his mom to see that he's a nerd talking about wrestling. So I get it. I too hide from my mother.
When are you going to get a proper job, Joel?
May we never get proper jobs. May we never get proper jobs.
Let's
be wizards forever. Cheers to that.
Oh, Cresta, may we be wizards forever. That's
no
that's...
muggle jobs. The muggle wizard forever.
We love it.
So,
we love it.
How was Ring of Honor tonight? Was it very honorable, or was there just a ring involved?
There was a ring involved.
There was a ring involved in every match.
Wow.
Some things were honorable, but the feud with the biggest heat on it right now is me and Tom. That's for sure.
That's but crazy. We're the biggest feud in the match right here.
Yeah, I think we might be feud of the year, though, to be honest. So,
well, it's either me and you, or me and Jeff Jarrett, or maybe a combination of all of us together.
Triple threat with Jeff. I'll bring a guitar. Let's go.
Let's do it. Guitar Let's necklaces for everybody. It was a fair to middling show with Ring of Honor. Obviously, with TNA, one thing they do very well, which you guys are going to talk about, is celebrate their world champion. Something that Ring of Honor is not particularly good at doing right now.
I mean, our world champion right now is Moose.
Nah, your world champion is Jordan Grace. Let's get real.
I was gonna say, our world champion.
Yeah, that's our world champion is Jordan Grace. Right.
You guys are the must watch this week.
Hey, what the heck, man? I brought you on here.
Oh, come on. Let's be honest. They are.
We thank Tom so much for being here.
No. Hold on.
That's crazy. This is shenanigans. I'm here for it tonight. The stud stows and shenanigans.
I like this Tom Campbell guy. Let's talk. Tom, would you like to stick around for the TNA post show so we can bury Kate for another few hours?
Do you know what,
it's
Joel?
4 a.m. his time.
One would salivate at such a thought to spend time with you two lovely people and talk about Kate, but it is nearly the morning and I have to be awake 3 hours ago. So I'm probably... because that's time how it works, and it's Friday here, it's Thursday there, but I will be listening to you guys after you record on the Fightful podcast feed, as I am wont to do.
And will you leave a 5-star review?
I'll leave a 4-star review just to be awkward.
That's very awkward.
My favorite number, so you're not being awkward. Just to spite Joel, I'm here for
why is 1-star your favorite
for Kate?
Number?
4 is my favorite number. It's a dumb story, but long story long, playing Monopoly as a kid, anytime I rolled a 4, it was up. So 4 just became my favorite number.
Love that for you.
Nice.
You know what we normally don't do in the handoff is plugs, but since you're an incredibly special guest.
Thank you. Oh,
we will. You guys can plug your own shit at the end. I don't care. But Tom, sincerely doing some incredible work. I am such a fan of what you've done. Not to me on Twitter, but the work that you continue to put out. I'll let you tell people where to find you and what you're up to these days.
Hi, I'm Tom Campbell from Cultaholic Wrestling on the Cultaholic YouTube channel. What's that? You like the things that Fightful report? Come see us. We aggregate it.
I'm clipping the shit out of that.
We also
do classic review shows of we do the Cultaholic Classic Raw, SmackDown, and Nitro review. We're watching every single episode of all those from the beginning until the bitter end, or hours. We do top 10 lists, we do countdowns, we do worst to best, we do documentary pieces, all on our YouTube channel with a wonderful cast of characters from right here in sunny old United Kingdom, the home of AEW All In and the home of Kate's resting place, Wembley Way, around All In weekend. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. I'm doing the Great North Run, which is the world's greatest half marathon in September, raising money for Calm, the campaign against living miserably, who look after people and support them when the hour is particularly dark. And if you want to support that, find me on Twitter. I'm banging on about it all the time, at Tom Campbell on Twitter. And call Jeff Jarrett an arsehole when you get a chance. He loves that sort of thing. Thank you for having me, Kate. It has been an honor and a privilege to have me here. And it's been lovely to be a part of the
show.
Shake
my hand. Honor is real.
Don't do it, Tom. Don't do it, Tom.
Which way is it that way?
Don't do either way. It's bad.
You're my favorite now. You are so funny, but stop being mean. Stop menacing Kate. Oh, Kate's like...
And that's just what happens sometimes.
And that's how we hand off the show, ladies.
Honor is real around here. You don't deny me a handshake. And live to tell about it. Guys, follow Tom and support his run for mental health sincerely. He's doing really cool stuff. But we are big supporters of mental health here at Fightful. We appreciate what Tom is doing and everything he's bringing to the space. And also, ha ha ha, I kept you up till 4 a.m., Tom. The feud continues.
He's going to keep her up till 5, I guess. Is that what happens next?
Listen, I don't know how the internet or wrestling works. I only get on here to spread disinformation and lies and eat hot chip.
We're going to have a sleepover. That's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to get over. What are we doing here? What is this?
I don't know. What the hell are we doing here?
I don't know.
We don't belong here.
Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Hold on. Okay, Tom, Kate's gone. Okay. Now say something mean about Kate. Now's your chance.
Well, she's not gone because she's here.
Well, yeah, but she's not. The four thing, she ain't there. It's just the three of us now.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right.
So this is your chance.
There's a rumor going round, right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know when you're trying to open a carton of milk, right? And you sometimes get that carton of milk that you try and take the little plastic bit off, but it doesn't quite open. And mm-hmm. So therefore you're having to like really rip the carton apart in order to get the milk out.
Yeah.
Kate does that.
Oh God.
Kate does that.
So you know what? Saying...
That doesn't surprise me at all.
You're saying that Kate also eats Kit Kats like this?
The long way.
Oh, I've seen Kate eating Kit Kats the long way, and it's quite frankly terrifying.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends. Tom, I bid you a good night.
Have a lovely show, you both. Love you. Bye.
Take care.
Nice beating you, Tom. I'm tickled pink. He's quite funny.
It's pretty good. What is this, Radiohead? What are you people doing?
Oh, no. That was being creeped by Smash and Punk. I'm like, well, Smash, that's definitely Radiohead.
No, you just don't. You don't know the bit. That's you got to watch in the weeds. You got to watch in the weeds Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Yep, sorry. You just don't know. Hi, Crest the Star.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.